Network. The views and opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Take the Cup of Salvation, live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air. Wasn't that nice? I sped it up today. I didn't try to get extra time, you know. Even though you go on and say, the number one show on the radio.
Hey, it's all about advertising, you know.
My gosh, boy. And he lies through his teeth. Oh, my gosh.
And that was Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
Well, we certainly do. We hope he loves us, too.
He does, and we got quite a show here today, Dr. Palmer.
Yeah, we do. We do. We do. You know, I wanted to get the song, but I couldn't find it. We're standing on the shoulders of those who have gone before us.
Yes, I love that
song. By Palmer Pascal, because it sums up what Barbara Samuels is all about with her fortnight of freedom.
Yes.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome and thank you. We know all the extra... trouble you had to have to go through to be on the show today. We thank you so much.
Really, Barbara, good. Where are you right now? Tell our audience exactly where you are.
I told Palmer.
I am sitting in the middle of the state of Pennsylvania. I did pull off of Route 80, and I'm at a McDonald's parking lot now.
So have some French fries on us.
Yeah, get some French fries.
Okay.
Bill us while we're talking. Thank you, Barbara. Welcome. Barbara, you're very... dear and precious to us, and we love having you on our show, and we know you're the fighter for our freedom. You go all over the country to talk about our religious freedom. Maybe you want to tell us a little something about it and what you're trying or what you're looking to accomplish.
Okay, I would be glad to. I'm so privileged to be on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you,
but don't
Barbara.
Believe him when he says number one. I mean, come on, you know, number 17 maybe, but
no,
you know,
Palmer, number one.
Well, should be number one.
Okay,
right?
Good. All right.
So,
thank you.
There you go. Okay, in the process of becoming number one.
Okay.
But I'm just, you know, very... very happy to be on the show this morning, and I speak for the many, many volunteers who work for our organization, Catholics for Freedom of Religion. And we came together 3 years ago on the fertile soil of the Diocese of Rockville Center. We started from nothing, but with the knowledge that our freedom of religion is so fast disappearing for all Americans of all faiths, that we as Catholic laity can come together and can make a difference in preserving religious liberty. We've been hard at work at that for 3 years, and the volunteers have done amazing things on a nonpartisan, non-political basis. We bring together Catholics and we learn about our freedom of religion, that it is more than freedom of worship, that many people now would like to believe that freedom of worship is all that counts, and if you have freedom of worship, you're all right. No. Freedom of worship means worship within the four walls of your church. We have in this country, or had, a robust freedom of religion to take our faith and our morals and our principles into our schools, our community, and our country, and to influence our society and to influence our governance. And that is what we are fast losing. And so that's why we're working so hard. And that is why we're delighted to prepare for the fourth Fortnight for Freedom. And that is a period of 2 weeks every year, starting June 21st and concluding on July 4th. And that is designated by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops as a time for all Catholics to come together and learn and pray and act to preserve religious liberty for all. And so Catholics for Freedom of Religion, once again, has a very active role and an active calendar for those 2 weeks, even more so than for the rest of the year. And this year in the Diocese of Rockville Center, for the third time, Bishop Murphy has asked Catholics for Freedom of Religion to co-sponsor a rally for religious freedom. So, have you heard about our rally for religious freedom?
I have. Why don't you tell the audience about it?
Okay, I would love to. On June 25th at 7:30 in the evening at Chaminade High School, that's a Thursday evening, we will have the third rally for religious freedom, and Bishop Murphy will open the rally with opening remarks, and then he will introduce the keynote speaker, Robert George. And we are just incredibly astonished that Professor George would come to Long Island for an event, which will be a small event compared to where he usually speaks. There are 1,100 seats in the auditorium. We expect to fill them all. Professor George is the McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence at Princeton University. Mm-hmm. The New York Times calls him the leading Christian voice in America. The professor is incredible. His resume is phenomenal. And he last year spoke, for example, at the National Communion Breakfast in Washington, D.C. And at that time, if I could just give people an idea of what he has to say, I've got a quote here. At that time, he said to the audience, he said, are we willing to take up the cross and proclaim the gospel in light of what's going on in our country right now? He says, am I ashamed of the gospel? Am I unwilling to stand with Christ by proclaiming his truth? He says, things were easy on Palm Sunday. Standing with Jesus and his truth was the end thing to do. Everybody was shouting, Hosanna. But now it's Friday, Good Friday, and the days of acceptable Christianity are over. Jesus is before Pilate. The crowds are shouting, crucify him. The Lord is being led to Calvary. Jesus is being nailed to the cross. And where are we? Where are you and I? Are we afraid to be known? Are we afraid to be known as his disciples? Are we ashamed of the gospel? So that gives you an idea. When Robert George spoke that, they were powerful words, and they reverberated through the country and through the Catholic media in the country. And we know that on June 25th, he will have a very powerful message for us at Chaminade High School.
Okay. Barbara, may I ask a question? Just to frame you and your organization, what's the mission statement for your organization?
Okay, I'd be glad to tell you that. Let me first just finish a thought about this rally, though, something I should have mentioned in the beginning.
Okay.
There's no charge to attend the rally, but we are asking that people call and register for seating because we do expect to have a lot of people. We want to make sure people know they have seats. So I'm going to give a phone number.
Okay.
It's 516, mm-hmm. So everyone knows that, the 516 area code, 766-0161. And maybe we could give that later on in the show again.
Okay, sure. So repeat it now. So,
do it again, too, now, yeah.
Oh, do it now. Okay, yeah. Grab your pencils, folks. 516-766. 0161, and that goes through to a telephone in the diocese. If no one answers, leave a message and they will call you back to get your information, your name, and how many seats you want to reserve for that June 25th rally.
No,
so then You asked about the mission statement of Catholics for Freedom of Religion.
Okay.
We have a formal mission statement. It's short. I don't have it with me here in the car in front of McDonald's. But I can tell you, you know, from having read it millions of times, that, you know, our mission statement is to educate Catholics of all ages about the truth of our religious freedom, where it came from, why our founders were so determined that we should have religious freedom, and how it is being so quickly lost in this country.
Now, Barbara, Professor George is your kickoff event. What other events do you have scheduled for the next fortnight?
Well, the fortnight, he is actually in the middle of, well, the fortnight opens on June 21st. There will be an opening mass at St. Agnes Cathedral on June 21st at 11 a.m. So that'll be the opening mass. In the past, Bishop Murphy has said celebrated that mass. I don't have that word for sure, but I'm expecting that. Then the rally is on June 25th at 7:30 p.m. at Chaminade. And then the closing fortnight mass is also at St. Agnes Cathedral on the 4th of July at 9 a.m. So it's nice and early in the morning so we can come together and hear about religious freedom. We can pray for America's religious freedom. And then we can go out and enjoy the 4th of July and celebrate the independence of this country that gave us the religious freedom that our founders intended us to have, and that is now our responsibility to preserve for generations to come.
You know, Barbara, I heard, and I don't know if this is part of your group, I don't know exactly where which group is trying to do this, but there has been a movement to try to get people to say the rosary on the steps of Catholic churches at 6 p.m. on certain nights.
It's been in effect 2-3 years. I do it
what
every
is
year.
It?
It's where people gather on the steps of the church.
Okay.
Starting on, the 25th of June or something, and ends on the 4th of July.
So it's for the whole fortnight.
It's for the whole fortnight, yes. And, it's very... Actually, it's very powerful when you participate.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple of churches already that are planning that.
Good.
St. Catherine's does it every year.
Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And St. Aidan's in Williston Park will be praying the rosary during the fortnight on the steps in front of the church. I don't have that date with me right now. People who are in that area can find it on St. Aidan's calendar.
I think it's the Monday night because for some reason...
It starts on a Monday, and it ends on the 4th of July. But I just, if I can add, it's a very powerful statement for people to see people on the steps of the church praying the Holy Rosary as they're passing by
for their cause. For freedom.
For freedom.
You know, it's something that our listeners can help have happen. Go to your pastors and ask them at 6 p.m. at night, beginning that Monday of that whole fortnight until the end of the fortnight, that you be allowed to say the rosary for freedom on the steps of the church. What a powerful testimony that is.
It's a very powerful statement. It really is. Just the vision of it is a powerful statement.
And even if you're not Catholic and you don't say the rosary, go stand with the crowd. What's the difference?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you said that because that's one point we make. And we've been working with Hillary Burns, who's the Assistant General Counsel for the USCCB. And she's very involved in nationwide in the planning for the Fortnight for Freedom. And we've sent her information about what we're doing in the Diocese of Rockville Center. And that's been put up on the USCCB website.
Good.
And a discussion I've had with her is, you know, people read about or see on the USCCB website. They have wonderful, wonderful videos there about the Fortnight for Freedom. And they talk about the opening mass that they're having in Washington in Maryland, in Baltimore maybe, and the closing mass at the cathedral in Washington. But I said to her, people all over the country also need to know what's going to go on and what they can see in their parish and what their parish could look like during the Fortnight for Freedom. So what you're saying is absolutely so important, And we find if people go to their pastor and they say, Father, would you please, for the Fortnight for Freedom, let us work with you to plan an event, to plan a handout to the parish. On the USCCB website, Father, we know that there are intentions and there's a holy hour for religious freedom. There's all kinds of materials so that the Fortnight for Freedom can be seen in every parish throughout the USA.
You know,
and how wonderful if they would do the public rosaries. We did two of those in the past at our rallies. We stood out in front of St. John the Baptist High School in West Islip along the road, their busy road, and prayed the rosary. And what an effect on the people going by and on the people saying the rosary.
Yeah, and you know, I know all the different prayer groups in the diocese, and every parish has a rosary society. Why not just get after them? If you go to your parish, get after your Rosary Society to organize for those 2 weeks to say the Rosary at 6 p.m. every night for freedom. And if people want to know what you're talking about, we're praying for religious freedom. Why not?
That's right. And we have signs that we had made. It's very easy for people to get a big piece of oak tag and make a sign or two that says, Rosary for Religious Freedom.
Absolutely.
Pray for religious freedom. Join us to pray for religious freedom. So powerful, and we need that public witness. You're so right about that. In this country, we have been too long complacent, and we didn't realize we needed to defend our religious freedom.
And
but
wouldn't it be something, Barbara, if we could get the young kids in the Catholic schools to come out in front of the school on those days while they're in school, maybe over lunch hour, and just say the rosary for freedom. The kids would love it. And what a testimony.
There is a movement for children to say the rosaries. It really is a great movement that's going on.
Just a thought. I mean, I know it's easy to throw balls and not make them happen. But but you know, it's just we're putting the ideas out here for our listeners.
Yes.
And maybe we are number one. I take it back.
We are number one. Believe me, Palmer. We got about 15, 20 listeners at least.
Oh, okay. Yes. Thank God.
Barbara.
Yes.
I don't know. Dr. Palmer doesn't believe that we're number one. I don't know why. Listen to the show. It's a great show, isn't it? Barbara,
yes.
You know, religious freedom is guaranteed by the Constitution, right? And also, it's part of the pillars of our country, as I look at it. But you must feel the same way that I feel, that the silent majority is allowing our religious freedom in so many ways to dissipate and to be whittled down. Is that what's going on?
That is exactly what's happening. And when you talk about our Constitution, it reminds me of what Archbishop Chaput said. He said that Americans presume the Constitution guarantees their rights.
Yes.
But in practice, these rights survive or disappear depending on how firmly we defend them.
Because of the silent majority.
Yes, and the silent majority has been silent too long. We have been complacent and compliant. And we are now seeing the fruits of that. And we're losing our religious freedom very, very quickly because people are not speaking up. And this is an inertia that Catholics for Freedom of Religion works against. That sometimes when we go into parishes, people will say, well, I can still go to church on Sunday. There's no problem. We've had very educated people who really should know better tell us this, that if they can go to church on Sunday, that's all they need. Well, if you can go to church on Sunday, that's freedom of worship. But if you cannot have Catholic charities, if you cannot have Catholic hospitals, Catholic high schools, Catholic universities, or religious institutions of other faiths, if you cannot have them, if you can't go into the workplace and say to your coworkers, oh, I'm so excited, last weekend was my son's wedding, he and his wife were so beautiful, here's a picture, oh my gosh, we're so excited for them. Now, there are places where in the workplace, you cannot say that. And if you say that, people have been brought before their bosses brought before human resources and told that was insensitive. You offended some of our same-sex employees by saying that. We are going to send you for education. We're going to send you for sensitivity training. We are going to demote you, or you will not get the next promotion. These things are happening today in the United States of America. We are losing our freedom of religion. We are losing our freedom of speech. And most of us, the silent majority, are totally unaware.
Well, we just go through our life and everything's the same. So, you know, it doesn't really affect us. That's the rationale. But in the long run, it affects us. It affects our children. And the freedoms that we have grown up with are so much in danger. That's why we're here with you, Barbara, today, to try to send a wake-up call to a lot of Catholics and a lot of Christians and a lot of Jewish people of faith to realize that so much is at stake. And it's not something that's being done politically. We're not talking about politics.
No, absolutely
we're talking
not.
About a state of mind and a state of being where people will say, hey, wait a minute. You're stepping on my toes, and I don't need my toes and my God's toes to be stepped on because of your insensitivity to me. Do you get what I mean?
Exactly. And you know what? We have been able to be complacent, but that is rapidly ending.
Thank God.
And when the Supreme Court comes out with their opinion in June, which people expect to be the very end of June, when they come out with their decision, if they redefine marriage as no longer between a man and a woman, if they redefine marriage, no one will avoid the consequences of that. If you look at Canada, who back 10 years ago did that, they redefined marriage, the loss of freedom of religion and the loss of freedom of speech there is shocking, and it will come to us, and it will not be a country that we will recognize 15 years from now. Our children and grandchildren will say, Grandma, Grandpa, why didn't you do something? Why didn't you do something? Now we have to try to regain those freedoms, and this is going to happen. This redefinition of marriage is going to affect laws and regulation and culture. And in Canada, for example, if a family is thought or someone complains that they are teaching their children that same-sex marriage is not good, the state can send people into the home to interview the children, and they can remove those children from those parents. And that's just one of the things that is happening in Canada. If in Canada, for example, I am at work and I'm celebrating and excited about my son and his new wife and how wonderful that is, if someone finds that offensive, they can complain to a tribunal, and I will be brought before that tribunal. I must have a lawyer to represent me. It can cost people tens of thousands of dollars for their attorneys. If it is not proven that they were against same-sex marriage, if that is not proven, it doesn't matter. They don't get their money back.
I have a story to tell you. It's about a fourth grader, a son of a friend of mine years ago. And this young child grew up and just recently died. And the teacher was saying they were going to celebrate gay pride. And anyone object? And this little fourth grader raised his hand. And he said, I do. And she said, why? And he said, because it's against my religion. She said, you get up here and you tell the class how this is against your religion. And he told his father, I was walking up and I didn't know what I was going to say. And you know what he said? Hey, when God created Adam, a man and woman, he created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. And I thought that's such a great line coming out of a kid. But it's so pitiful that it's so far beyond that now.
Yeah, and
you're,
you know what?
You're right. It is far beyond that. And you know, another thing, I'm so glad you brought up our students, because with this redefinition of marriage in the states that have had it, that must then be taught in the schools. And it is taught in the schools. And parents have come forward very upset with what is taught to their children about sexual orientation and the acceptability of same-sex marriage. And no Christian ever holds it against someone because of their sexual orientation. On the other hand, there is tolerance, but then right now more is demanded of us than tolerance. It's insisted that not only do we tolerate, but that we participate and celebrate same-sex marriage and these various sexual orientations that, you know, since time began, marriage has been between a man and a woman. Now we are expected to celebrate other unions that will replace traditional marriage. And our children are bearing the brunt of this in their schools. And one thing we have done in our schools, and it's well underway in the Diocese of Rockville Center, we developed a program to help our children in schools, to teach them what their freedom of religious expression is in the public schools. We have a program called Free to Speak. And that Free to Speak has been going on now for a couple of years, but this year it really took hold in the Diocese of Rockville Center. And what it does is it teaches children, according to the Department of Education, based upon the law, what their freedom of religious expression is in the public school. That children may write about their faith. They may write about Jesus. They may speak about their faith. They may read the Bible and other religious books during free reading time. They may initiate prayer during free time with fellow students. They may initiate prayer and Christian clubs before and after school. When we go out and teach these truths to parents and to children, the parents especially are incredible. They're like, what? You mean that can go on at school? You mean my children can hand out invitations to their Christmas party at school? And we say, we're not attorneys, but we say, yes, look at the rights that the Department of Education tells us our children have. If any invitations to a birthday party, to any non-curricular event can be handed out at school, then an invitation to an Easter party or a Christmas party or a St. Patrick's Day party can be handed out also. The school may not discriminate based upon the religious content of those communications.
And it's not just Christian. It's not just Christian. It's all faiths. And this also includes Muslim faiths. And all faiths have this right and should be exercise it.
Barbara, many years ago I was in the Marines. I was a sergeant. And I can tell you it was my faith that got me through the Marines and the fact that I was able to say the rosary. And we were pretty well hep with religion and prayer and stuff like that. I'm hearing today that it's starting to dissipate in the military. Is there any truth to that?
It's not that it's so much starting to dissipate. It is being deliberately removed. In our program that we will have, the program we hand out to everybody the night of the rally, is more than just a program. It's a reference book on religious freedom, and there will be a whole page in there about attacks on religious freedom in the military. There are just so many things. Out in Texas, at a national cemetery out there, families were told they could not have Jesus mentioned at the funeral service for their deceased. A chapel at one of the national cemeteries was turned into a storage room. The cross was covered up. The stained glass windows were covered up because it might offend somebody. Throughout our military, our chaplains are under attack. There's a chaplain right now being defended by the Liberty Institute because he taught, and he's a highly decorated chaplain, but he was asked about Catholic teachings or Christian teachings. I don't believe he's Catholic. Christian teachings about traditional marriage. For answering that question according to the Bible, he is under attack. They want to court-martial him and remove him from the military in disgrace for teaching the truth that he is there to teach. the violation of freedom of religion in the military is appalling, absolutely appalling. I'm so glad you brought that up.
There are no atheists in foxholes.
That's true.
Let's point that out.
My statement is very simple. Come on, wake up, you silent majority. How dare them allow them to take away our freedom in this country and our freedom in the military and our right to worship.
And I want to emphasize this is not political.
No,
this
absolutely
is evil.
Not.
This is, and it's the fight against evil.
Absolutely, John.
And I think that's so important because it's easy to get hung up on a Democrat or a conservative or Republican. Or whatever. It's not that.
No.
It's a matter of good versus evil and the rights to preserve the good that we've been given
and,
through our Constitution.
And it's allowing the evil one to take hold of what's going on.
Yeah, well...
So God bless you with your work, Barbara. Nah.
Yes, and you know what? I'm glad you brought that point up also about evil at work in this world, because we know that evil exists in this world as surely as good. And we know that the devil will sometimes mix good with evil to confuse us. But we know the truth, in this case we're Catholics, we know the truth of our church. And we have to stand strong for them, and we have to stand strong to witness to those truths. This year's Fortnight for Freedom, the theme of it is freedom to bear witness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important. That is being taken from us incredibly, so that we're going to become like China, where they have a limited freedom of worship within their churches, but on the street you cannot speak to anybody about your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Or about your religion. And we see that happening here, where faith now and religious principles and religious statements can be called hate speech. And it won't be long before that hate speech will be determined by the government to be a prosecutable offense. And then where are we? Then we know where we are. And remember, Thomas Jefferson said to us, the God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. And he said, force may destroy that, but can never disjoin it. Because not only does our Constitution ensure for all Americans their freedom of religion, but we know that it's a gift from God, that he gave us freedom of conscience, free will, freedom of religion when he gave us life. And we must each of us find what we can do to stand up, to speak to those around us, to raise the alarm, and to preserve religious liberty. It's not a choice. It's not an option. It is expected of us. We will answer to God for what we did with the gift of freedom of conscience that he gave us, that he gave us the gift of being born in this country with these magnificent freedoms guaranteed by our Constitution, and he will ask each one of us, what did you do with the gift that I gave you?
You know, Barbara,
did you prosper that gift?
That's great. And Barbara, there's a song that Michael Crawford sings, and I think it's a theme for everything we've been talking about. It's called I'll Walk with God. Why don't we listen to that? So just kind of listen to what it means to walk with God. Here it comes.
Mm-hmm.
There is no death, though eyes grow dim. There is no fear when I'm near to him. I'll lean on take his hand. I'll talk with God. He'll understand. I'll pray to him each day to him, and he'll hear the word that I say.
Tony knows I love music, and it just speaks to the heart of every listener. Get off your fannies. Get out to your parish. Talk to your pastor. Tell him about the fortnight. They already know. Tell him about saying a rosary on church steps. Get moving. Walk with God and let God lead you.
Absolutely.
That's really where I'm coming from.
And by the way, My cousin and my business partner, Bobby, you may know, wrote a song, A Time in America, which talks about mentions about the way it was in America with liberty and freedom and religion. And I'm going to be giving those songs out free of charge tomorrow at St. Catherine of Siena Church in New Hyde Park, Franklin Square, rather. And so I'd like everyone to take a copy and know how it was in America.
Barbara, give us the phone number again to register for the rally.
Yes, the phone number is 516-766-0161. And people can also call the diocese operator, and they can also go to LICatholic.org for more information. That's LICatholic.org.
That's a diocesan newspaper.
Right. So that phone number is 516-766-0161. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's
you
correct.
Got it, everyone?
Now, Barbara, we'd love to have you have some French fries on us. Send a bill to us.
Well, you know what? A lot of truckers are stopped here at this McDonald's. And it's a beautiful day. I can look around and see the tops of mountains all around.
Wow.
So I would really like to stay here, but I have to get back to New York because tomorrow I'll be speaking in Manhattan at the Archdiocese Alumni Club. I'll be speaking in Manhattan about religious freedom.
Oh.
And we take every opportunity. If people want a speaker, we have several very good speakers who will come to their parish or come to their ministry to speak about religious freedom. They can find that by calling you or calling our phone number, 631-896-8331, and we will provide a speaker. And also, we have been working with the General Counsel of the Diocese of Rockville Center, Thomas Renker, and he is amazing. And we arrange for him to go speak at parishes. And when we go there, usually I speak or one of our volunteers will speak for about 10 minutes about Catholics for Freedom of Religion and how people can work with us and use our materials. And then Tom gets up and explains to people the ramifications of what is happening in this country. And as I spoke before, if we have a redefinition of marriage by the Supreme Court, you will hear from Tom how things like this will affect every one of us and will affect our society. You know, Tom and some of the other volunteers from Catholics for Freedom of Religion, we went into Manhattan last fall and we heard Archbishop Chaput give the Erasmus lecture at First Things, at the First Things organization, which is amazing. And Archbishop Chaput made the point. He said, in our country, we've had two parents for many years, the Constitution and our Judeo-Christian ethic. He said, now those parents are getting a divorce, and we will not like the new house rules. And
that's
that says it
that's
in a nutshell.
That's very interesting.
That's a neat way to say it.
Yeah. Barbara, that phone number again for the speaker is 631-896-8331, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So if anyone wants a speaker, call that number.
And we have a saint of a day that we do every week.
Yes.
And we have a saint today who's quite unique, would you say?
Yes, it's quite unique, and it's in
Barbara, if you have to go, we understand.
You can go, Barbara.
And we thank you so much.
Okay, no French fries. I'm just going to get right back on the road.
Okay, right.
Okay.
Thank you so much, guys.
A pleasure.
So we owe you a dinner of French fries.
Good. Okay. I'll expect that soon.
God bless you, and thank you so much for taking all this trouble to be on the show. We love
you. Oh, good. That's good to hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
Bye-bye. Have
take
a wonderful
care.
Day. Bye-bye.
So the saint of today is in honor of our very, very famous Dr. John Palmer, who asked that we talk about this saint. Seems to be a favorite of yours, Dr. Palmer.
I thought I heard about him on telecare.
So,
and
so the saint
is interesting.
He is, and the saint is Saint Philip Neri. And he dedicated his life to God. Spent 13 years involved in prayer and building relationships with people from all walks of life. He lived his life as private as a hermit, unknown to all around him. He spent much time in prayer in the catacombs and only ate bread and water, sometimes sprinkled with herbs. But I think what attracted Dr. Palmer mostly was that his love for humor.
Yes.
And love for laughter.
Yes.
And Dr. Palmer, if you get to really know him, you really get to love him because
he's nuts.
He's a lot like that. A little wacky, but he's a lot like that. He's a lovable guy. If one had to choose one saint who showed the humorous side of holiness, that would be Philip Neri. Born in 1515 in Florence, he showed the impulsiveness of his character from the time he was a boy. In fact, one incident almost cost him his life. Seeing a donkey loaded with fruit for market, this little boy had barely formed the thought of jumping on the donkey's back before he had done it. He jumped on the back, and the donkey was surprised, lost his footing, and the donkey, the fruit, and the boy tumbled into the cellar with the boy winding up on the bottom. Miraculously, he was unhurt.
That's something I would do.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm afraid of.
I know.
That's why I keep it distant
from
you.
I'm good with donkeys. Go ahead.
His father was not successful financially, and at 18, Philip was sent to work with an older cousin who was a successful businessman. During his time, Philip found a favorable place to pray in a mountain that had been turned into a chapel. We don't know anything specific about his conversion, but during these hours of prayer, he decided to leave worldly success behind and dedicate his life to God. After thanking his cousin, he went off to Rome in 1553, where he was the live-in tutor of the sons of a fellow Florentine. He studied philosophy and theory until he thought his studies were interfering with his prayer life. He then stopped his studies, threw away his books, probably out the window, and lived as a kind of hermit. Night was a special time for prayer. After dark, he would go into the streets, sometimes to churches, but most often into the catacombs to pray. During one of these times of prayer, he felt a globe of light enter his mouth and sink into his heart. Mm. This experience gave him so much energy to serve God that he went out to work at a hospital, and the incurables started speaking to others about God and everyone from beggars to bankers that he could come across. In 1548, Philip formed a confraternity with other laymen to minister to pilgrims who came to Rome without food and shelter. The spiritual director of the confraternity convinced Philip that he could do even more work as a priest. So after receiving instructions from this priest, Philip was ordained in 1551. At his new home, he learned to love to hear confessions. Young men especially found him the wisdom and direction they needed to grow spiritually. But Philip began to realize that these young men needed something more than absolution. They needed guidance during their daily lives. They needed some humor in their lives, and they needed to realize who God was. So Philip began to ask the young men to come in the early afternoon where they could discuss spiritual readings and stay for prayer. The numbers of the men who attended these meetings grew rapidly. In order to handle the growth, Philip and a fellow priest gave a more formal structure to the meetings and built a room called the oratory to hold them in. In order to guide his followers, Philip made himself available to everyone at any hour, even at night. He said some of the most devout people were those who came to him at night, late at night. When others complained, Philip answered, "They can chop wood on my back as long as they do not sin." Because officially he was known as the Congregation of the Oratory, he made up of priests and clerics. Philip was known to be spontaneous, unpredictable, charming, and most importantly, a humorous priest.
It's called a pain in the neck.
It's called Dr. John Palmer. Humility was also a very important virtue. He tried to teach others, which maybe I don't too sure about Palmer. Some of his lessons in humility seemed cruel, but they were tinged with humor like practical jokes and related with gratitude by the people they helped. His lessons always seemed to be tailored directly to what the person needed. One member, who was later to become a cardinal, was too serious, and so Philip had him sing a song at a wedding breakfast. When one priest gave a beautiful sermon, Philip ordered him to give the same sermon 6 times in a row, so people could think he only had one sermon. There were unexpected benefits to his lessons of humility. Another member wanted to speak at a meeting about hellfire and eternal punishment. Philip commanded him instead to speak of church history. For 27 years, Baraninus spoke to the oratory about church history. At the end of that time, he published his talks as a widely respected and universally praised books on church history. Philip did not escape the spiritual mortification himself. As with others, his own humbling held humor. There were stories of him wearing ridiculous clothes or walking around with half his head shaved. Yeah, do you do that, Palmer?
All the time.
Yeah, this guy was hilarious.
But I have a lot of masking tape on my mouth.
You do, yes. Only when we tell Trevor. He was hilarious. He was funny. But he was to become a saint. The greater his reputation for holiness, the sillier he wanted to seem. When some people came from Poland to see this great saint, they found him listening to another priest read to him from a book of jokes. Now I know what attracted you to him.
Got it.
Philip was very serious about prayer, spending hours in prayer. He also so easily carried away that he refused to preach in public and could not celebrate Mass with others around. But he, when asked how to pray, his answer was, "Be humble and obedient, and the Holy Spirit will teach you." Philip died in 1595. After a long illness at the age of 80 years old. We're not too far behind. There's a prayer about Philip. I'd like to read it. It's quick. St. Philip Neri, we take ourselves far too seriously most of the time. Help us to add humor to our perspective, remembering always that humor is a gift from God to make us happy. Amen.
You know what attracted me to him, too? I heard a story that he was saying Mass, and he got caught up in ecstasy at Mass. and was levitating up to the top of the church for 2 hours and witnessed by others. I said, boy, if that's not a good joke, I would love to do that one.
Oh, I'm sure you would. Well, that's the short story of St. Philip Neri in honor of our future saint, Dr. John Palmer.
Well, you know, well, you're right. If that ever happens, that'll really be a joke.
Oh, that listen, would be.
Listen, you know, I thought it was such a pleasure to have Barbara with us
yes.
today.
And I thought she probably awoke a lot of people about our religious freedoms.
And, you know, we pray for a lot of things at the end of our time in the radio show. And I'd like to pray for the Lord to send a wake-up call to our listeners, Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, I don't care what faith. Wake up and let, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, touch them. Make them realize that their own religious freedoms are at stake. I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, or whatever. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they're Catholic, Jewish,
no.
Muslims, Protestants.
We pray, Lord, touch the hearts of listeners and ask them to learn how to stand up for their rights and become vocal. When you think of the minority that really is working on changing all of these things in our society, the ones who I think are led by evil, it's a very small percentage. I'd say it's less than 10% of our society. It's like the tail is wagging the dog.
Yeah.
And Lord, we want it now to ask you to wake up the dog so it bites the fleas from its tail and becomes very, very, very vocal.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just a tragedy to hear of these things. And then I look at the news on cable or wherever, and you see all the people just being massacred in the Middle East and in Africa, and it's as if nobody cares. And that yet we care. And yes, we pray, but Lord, we need to do more than just pray. We know that.
And let me just send out a call to the silent majority. Wake up, silent majority. Be silent no more. It's time. It's time to show we have religious freedom, and it's given to us as a pillar in our Constitution.
And, you know, every December, we celebrate a birthday. And in Christian religions, it's the birth of Jesus. And I have a song done by Father Charles Mangano and also Laurie Mangano. I'm sorry, they're two of my favorite singers. And the music is so good. And the song is, A King is Born. And maybe we can, in some ways, in the days ahead, celebrate Christ the King.
A king is born this day in Bethlehem. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No crown is worn, but angels worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Almighty God, he was weaned and mild. Salvation comes through his holy child. A king is born.
Wonder of his holy birth, a king is born.
Yay, a king is born! Yay! Let him get a life in your heart! Get up off your fannies and get out and do something! Stand up for your freedoms! Get going! Celebrate the Lord! Corpus Christi is tomorrow! Get with it, folks! Get with it! You like how subdued I am?
I don't know. Get off the table, Palmer! Stop dancing on the table!
And I'd like to end the show with that song, I'll Walk With God.
Great
song.
That's
what we're calling everybody to do, walk with God.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you for listening. We love you, and you're in our prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff.